One more time, please. Part four. So let's see who's paying attention. Who is telling the story? But who's telling the story of Prahlad? Narada too? Very good. And the story within the story is who speaking to who? Very good. Excellent. Yeah, that means I've done my job. Yes. Yes. Because it's important. The teacher has to make sure that the student actually is learning something. Not that I just sit here for 8 hours, blah, 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 blah. What did he say? I don't know. There should be some comprehension. Then I am an effective teacher. Good. Thank you. Prahlad continued, the real problem of life is what? Who can answer Prahlad's question? What is the real problem of life? Obamacare? What is the real problem of life? Yes, the repetition of birth and death. Prahlad says that is the real. And according to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, what are the four problems of life? Birth, death, old age, and disease. Yes. Anybody argue with Krishna on that point? Not successfully. Exactly. And especially those last two, old age and disease. How do you like old age, huh? It's a lot of fun, isn't it? And how do you like getting disease? No, we don't like it. We'll spend millions of dollars to avoid. And in Hollywood also, that old age, they'll do anything, put snake venom and they'll put different things to get rid of that old age, but can't do it. Time just takes away. Samsara is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. We studied this last week at Kundan Loka. Mang Chayovi Abhijarena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samatit Yaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Kopate. Arjuna's question was, how do I transcend these modes of nature? And Krishna's answer was, you have to perform devotional service without any stop, nirantara, without any cessation. Prahlad is repeating the same thing. There's no contradiction between Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita. No contradiction. Same message. It's just being explained from yet a different angle of vision. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshiping the Supersoul within everyone's heart. O sons of the Asuras, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Supersoul feature always exists within the cores of the hearts of all living entities. Indeed, he is the well-wisher and friend of all living entities. What verse in Bhagavad Gita does that remind you of? Suridam Sarvabhutanam, chapter 5. Learn your Bhagavad Gita, then you can preach most effectively. And there is no difficulty in worshiping the Lord. Hereon, how should we worship the Lord in this age of Kali? Chanting this holy name. Excellent. And is there any restriction? Do I have to worry about whether I'm clean or unclean? Do I have to worry about time, place, or circumstance? Anywhere? Anytime? Any circumstance? Yes, you have passed the examination. Excellent. Anytime, any place, anywhere. Why then should people not engage in his devotional service? I'm going to tell you a nice story in this regard. So many years ago, I was with my godbrother, Bhrigupati. We were at a concert in Columbia University, New York. So we were distributing Krishna book to the people attending the concert. So we weren't doing very good. So Bhrigupati got this idea. I'm going to distribute this book to the person who's doing the concert. I said, no, no, don't do that. But he was fearless. He walked right up in the middle of the concert, stopped the concert, and handed the guy a Krishna book. And he took the Krishna book. Then he handed it to his guitar player. And the guitar player started to read Krishna book to the audience. And then Bhrigupati asked the guy for a donation, and he gave a donation. That's called faith. That's Bhrigupati Das. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was like, yes. He definitely read like a couple of sentences from Krishna book right there to the whole audience. And the guy gave a donation. That was the best part. Gave him a few dollars. Why then should people not engage in his devotional service? Why are they so addicted to unnecessarily producing artificial paraphernalia for sense gratification? One's riches, beautiful wife and female friends, one's sons and daughters, one's residence, one's domestic animals like cows, elephants, and horses, one's treasury, economic development, and sense gratification. Indeed, even the lifetime in which one can enjoy all these material opulences are certainly temporary and flickering. Since the opportunity of human life is temporary, what benefit can these material opulences give to a sensible man who has understood himself to be eternal? It is learned from the Vedic literature that by performing great sacrifices, one may go where? How, where do you go by performing great sacrifices? Heavenly planets. However, although life on the heavenly planets is hundreds and thousands of times more comfortable than life on earth, the heavenly planets are not pure or free from the taint of material existence. The heavenly planets are also temporary, and therefore they are not the goal of life. On the other hand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, has never been seen or heard to possess inebriety. Consequently, for your own benefit and self-realization, you must worship the Lord with great devotion as described in the revealed scriptures. A materialistic person, thinking him or herself very advanced in intelligence, continually acts for economic development, but again and again, as enunciated in the Vedas, one is frustrated by material activities, either in this life or the next. Indeed, the results one obtains are inevitably the opposite of those one desires. In the material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish distress, and therefore acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. For as soon as one begins activities for happiness, conditions of distress begin. Prahlad's statement here is very, very, you might even say, controversial. Who is going to believe this? If I was to go on Fox Noise Channel and repeat this, they would go berserk. They would say that I'm crazy. But Prahlad Maharaj, he is Mahajan. He's the best example of a devotee. He is giving us revolutionary idea. As long as one endeavors for material happiness, what's going to happen? You're going to begin your conditions of distress. Therefore, the conclusion of the Bhagavatam is don't try to improve your material situation. And Prabhupada tells us early in Bhagavatam, material well-being automatically follows spiritual being, not vice versa. Many people think, oh, let me get my material act together and then I'll get my spiritual life. Doesn't work that way. That's why Prabhupada says material well-being automatically follows spiritual well-being. But that requires an awful lot of faith. That let me prioritize my spiritual life and automatically everything material will fall into place. But that is exactly, Prahlad is hinting at that. Don't strive for material happiness. Strive for Krishna consciousness. Make that the priority. A living entity desires comfort and makes plans for this purpose. But actually the body is the property of others. Indeed, the perishable body embraces the living entity and then leaves one aside. Since the body itself is ultimately meant to become stool or earth or ashes, what is the meaning of the paraphernalia related to the body, such as wives, residence, wealth, children, relatives, servants, friends, kingdoms, treasuries, animals, and ministers? They are also temporary. What more can be said about this? All this paraphernalia is very near and dear as long as the body exists. But as soon as the body is destroyed, all things related to the body are also finished. Therefore, actually, one has nothing to do with them. But because of ignorance, one accepts them as valuable. Compared to the ocean of eternal happiness, they are most insignificant. What is the use of such insignificant relationships for the eternal living being? This is a further explanation of this concept that material existence is a dream. When you have a dream, while you're having the dream, it's so real. But when you wake up, oh, it was just a dream. That day is coming. You've been hearing me say this for years now. That day is coming to a theater near you. In 3D, in Dolby surround sound. Every one of us will experience this material existence is a dream. When I was a young boy, there was this song. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Now, because of Bhagavatam and Prabhupada, now I can give the purport. It's a dream. The reality, it's right there at the beginning of the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I'm not making this up. It's right there, the opening section of chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita. Where is the reality? Spiritual world. We're on the reflection. The reflection is not real. Right? Here's a reflection of the camera. Where? This is the camera. Not this, right? This is a reflection of the camera. This is not taking a picture. This is. So in the same way, this, well, not here because we're doing Krishna consciousness, but out there, Irvine is a dream. Here is reality because we are hearing and chanting about who? My dear friends, the living entity receives different types of bodies according to previous fruitive activities. Thus, one is seen to suffer with reference to the particular body in all conditions of life, beginning with infusion into the womb. Please tell me, therefore, after full consideration, what is the living entity's actual interest in fruitive activities which result in hardship and misery? I went over time. I'm sorry. No, we have to respect the law of this temple. So there's only a few more statements, but I went over time, and that's a sin. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra.